Well, good morning. If you haven't, you're welcome to be seated here for just a second, or for a few minutes, even at that. Again, we have the honor and privilege today of welcoming a guest speaker. Mace is a former agnostic whose life has been transformed by the truth of the gospel. He is pursuing his master's of theology degree at Dallas Theological Seminary, the seminary where I graduated from as well, and he serves now as a church planting resident at Neartown Church in Houston. His dream here is to plant a disciple-making, church-multiplying, missionary-sending church in the heart of the city of Houston. He is a devoted husband to his best friend and partner in ministry, Jennifer, and he is a dad to his three amazing children, Bernard, Hannah, and Haven. He's also a classically trained musician, which, curious enough, like, what instrument did you play, or what training?
French horn,
okay. I was an alto sax. I know we have a couple other musicians in the house as well, so we can kind of make it. I don't know if I'd say classically trained, but nonetheless, we at least can go with that there. But he's a classically trained musician, avid learner, Houston sports fan, and I think we can all agree in driving with this, but he's a nap enthusiast. So would you guys welcome Mace as he comes forth to bring us the message here this morning.
Good morning. Thank you for that warm welcome. Pastor Chris referenced that my wife, Jennifer, is my best friend, partner in ministry, and we just celebrated just a month or so ago being married 12 years. And so we're super grateful for all the grace that the Lord has poured out in our lives. And as we were preparing to get married and throughout these 12 slightly plus years of marriage, one of the things that we've loved doing is seeking what sort of culture are we trying to create in our family? What are the habits, the rhythms, the traditions that we are going to instill in our family's lives and our kids' lives? What is the Perez family going to be about? And one of our favorite family traditions is a weekly family movie night where we gather around the living room, eat pizza, and watch a movie together every Friday night. And we get to take turns each week which family member gets to choose a movie. And a couple weeks ago, Jennifer and I decided, you know what? It's time. It's time to introduce our children to that great classic of American cinema, The Princess Bride. It's a great movie. If you know it, one of the things that makes it so great is how quotable it is, right? Hello, my name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die. Right? And then another famous quote, you know, this one character keeps saying, inconceivable. And all these things keep happening that he can't believe are happening. And so finally, one of the other characters turns to him. He goes, you know, you keep using that word. I do not think it means what you think it means. The reason why I bring that up is that is the line that came up in my mind when Pastor Chris told me about this twisted summer series that y'all have been going through, looking at different verses and passages in Scripture that have been twisted, that have been misunderstood. And today's Bible verse is no different. It is one of the most popular Bible verses, but sadly, also one of the most misunderstood. I'm talking about Philippians 4:13. So if you want to go ahead and be turning in your Bibles or on your devices to Philippians chapter 4, it's a tiny little letter near the back of the New Testament, so feel free to use that table of contents to help you. Or it's also in a collection of four short letters right in a row, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, or the way I learned to memorize the order, General Electric Power Company. So whatever method you use, if you want to be turning to Philippians chapter 4, and as we look at this passage today, we're going to seek to answer three questions. One, what do people think it means? Number two, what does it really mean? And number three, what does it mean for us? So let's start with, what do people think this verse means? Well, to do my research in preparation for today, I went on Twitter and I did a search for the hashtag, I can do all things, you know, to kind of get an idea of what do people generally think this verse means. And here's some of the things that I found, that people take this verse to mean that because I'm a Christian, I can do all things. And that all things included things like becoming a successful musician or getting into grad school. Or one person I found posted that he was able to set the state record in the bench press because he can do all things. So I think he's taking that Christ who strengthens me very literal, which I can appreciate, even if I don't think that's quite what Paul had in mind when he penned these words. So essentially, when you look out there, when you do these searches for these hashtags, you're going to find that people think that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me basically means that because I'm a Christian, I can accomplish any goal I set. I can run a marathon. I can be a CEO of a Fortune 500 company. I can do anything that I set my mind to because of Christ who strengthens me. Now, to be clear, any goal that you have the ability to choose absolutely is given to you by God. Our very breath is given to us by God. So, of course, your gifts, your talents, your abilities, even, yes, your physical strength is given to you by God. But that's not what we're talking about this morning. We're talking about what does Paul mean when he writes Philippians 4:13, when he writes, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And so does it really mean that because I'm a Christian, I can accomplish any goal I set? Well, probably by the virtue of the fact that it's included in this series, Pastor Chris and I would say no. And I think a humorous illustration of this point is one of my professors, Dr. Klingler, tells the story of when he was discipling and mentoring a young high school student. And this high school student was a very gifted athlete. He was an all-state running back here in the state of Texas. And he noticed that on this student's letter jacket, it said Philippians 4:13. And obviously, he's a Bible professor, so he understands what Philippians 4:13 is. But he just kind of played dumb, and he asked him, he said, hey, I noticed on your jacket it says Philippians 4:13. What's that? Oh, you don't know Philippians 4:13? It's a Bible verse. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Oh, okay. How much you bench? About 275 pounds. Oh, okay. How much you bench through Christ who strengthens you? About 275 pounds. So clearly, it does not mean that we can just do whatever we want, accomplish any goal that we set, right? So what does it really mean? I think that the hinge point, the key to understanding this verse correctly is to understand what that little word all means. And you might think, it's pretty simple, right? All means all. I taught in Conroe ISD for 6 years, and Conroe ISD's motto is all means all. And it's a pledge that everybody who works for the district, the teachers, the administrators, the support staff, are committed to giving each and every student, regardless of socioeconomic background, regardless of ethnic background, regardless of academic ability, they're committed to giving all students a quality education. All means all. Well, while I think that's a commendable educational philosophy, it's not a great Bible interpretation philosophy. Because words, including that little word all, only have meaning in a particular context. So if you were to start looking into real estate investment, you'd quickly learn the first three rules of real estate. Location, location, location. So, for example, my family and I just moved to the Heights area from the Tomball area just a few weeks ago. And even though our homes, the home that we sold and the home that we just purchased, are almost exactly the same square footage, the home that we bought costs about 30% more than the home that we sold. Why? Because of its location, because of its context. And so just like you can't accurately calculate the value of a home apart from its location, you can't accurately interpret a Bible verse apart from its context. So we need to understand Philippians 4:13 in context. So if we were to zoom out to the entire letter, and if we were to kind of corroborate details in this letter with what we discover in the book of Acts, this is what we would find, that Philippians is a letter written by the Apostle Paul. Paul was a former Pharisee and persecutor of the church, transformed into a preacher of the gospel through a personal encounter with the risen Christ. And then Paul went around the entire known world telling people about Jesus, preaching the gospel. And one of the places where he preached the gospel was this, the city of Philippi. So he started this church in Philippi. And things were going pretty well for a while. But where we're at, the context of the writing of this letter is that Paul is in prison. He's been arrested for preaching the gospel. And the Philippian church has found out about it. And so they're concerned. And so Paul writes to them, and he calls them in the opening of the letter, saints in Christ Jesus. And that phrase in Christ is going to be important. So just kind of store that in the back of your mind for later. So he's writing to these believers in the city of Philippi to encourage them. Now, the specific passage for today, Philippians 4:13, we're going to back up and we're going to start reading in Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse 10. And the Apostle Paul writes, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And so as we work through these verses here, we see that in verse 10, Paul says, I thank you that once again you have revived your concern for me. You've supported my ministry and supported my needs financially before, and you're wanting to do that again, and I thank you for that. But in verse 11, he says, let me just make something clear. I'm not truly in need. In verse 12, he says that I've learned the secret to be content. No matter what I have, when I have a lot, when I have nothing, when I have a full stomach, when I have an empty one, when I have money in the bank, when I'm bankrupt, when I'm experiencing prosperity and when I'm experiencing poverty, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And so as we look at our key verse this morning, verse 13, a few things to point out. Number one, the I in Philippians 4:13, the I who can do all things is the Apostle Paul. So it doesn't mean that this verse doesn't have implications for us, which we'll get to in just a moment. But first, we have to understand what it meant to them then before we can understand what it means to us now. So the I who can do all things is the Apostle Paul. And what is the all things? Does all mean all? No. He describes what he means by all, just the verse before, that the all means abundance and being brought low. It means placing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. It means that he can be content whether he is experiencing prosperity or he is experiencing poverty. How can he do that? He says, through him who strengthens me. And literally that phrase is in him, that he can do all things in Christ, that he can face prosperity and face poverty and be content in Christ. Now, how does that work? Well, again, we have to understand that these verses don't come in a vacuum. They're part of a letter that Paul has been writing for three full chapters now and then some. And so as we survey the letter, we find out in Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 through 14, that yes, Paul is in prison, but that has only served to advance the gospel more, that he's been able to preach the gospel to the entire Roman guard. And beyond that, that his example of standing strong in the face of trial, of being content in all circumstances, has served to inspire and encourage other believers to preach the gospel as well. So he can be content even in a Roman prison. What about the other end of the spectrum? Well, in Philippians chapter 3, Paul talks about how, by worldly standards, he had it all. You want to brag about your resume? I got that and then some. But he says in Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, I count all that as loss compared to knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, and being found in him and having righteousness, not by my own good deeds, but my righteousness that comes through by grace, through faith in my Savior, Jesus Christ, that nothing and no one compares to knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. I can have it all, but none of that matters as long as I have Jesus. And in Philippians 1:21, another famous verse from this letter, he says, besides, These Roman guards, what can they do to me? The worst that can happen is that they kill me. But to live is Christ, and to die is gain. So Paul says, come what may, prosperity or poverty, hunger or a full belly, money in the bank, bankruptcy, put me in prison, it doesn't matter, because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And you might think, well, that's great, that's good for Paul, but what about me and what I'm dealing with in my life right now? Well, what was true for Paul is true for us. So we've talked about what people think this verse means. We've tried to make a case for what it really means. And now let's talk about what it means for us. And now I come back to that phrase, in Christ. Christ, Paul said he can do all things in Christ. He called the believers, all believers in Philippi, those who are in Christ. So we all likewise, if we have given our faith to Jesus, are in Christ. We've been adopted into the family of God. We've been united into the body of Christ. We are in Christ. So likewise, just like the Apostle Paul, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. That doesn't mean running a marathon or starting a successful business. It means that doesn't matter what happens, because strength in Christ, not stuff, is the secret to contentment. That our strength is in Christ. It doesn't matter our circumstances. It doesn't matter how much stuff we have or don't have. We know the secret of being content. It is being in Christ. So some of you know what it's like to be in poverty. You know what it's like to not know where your next meal is coming from. You know what it's like to be dependent upon government aid or charity. My encouragement to you is, though you may be materially poor, you are spiritually rich if you are in Christ. Because Jesus plus nothing equals everything. So look to Christ for your contentment. Look to him for strength. My guess is most of us in this room, including myself, more often find ourselves on the prosperity end of the spectrum. We in this country experience unparalleled prosperity, historically and globally speaking. We have running water. We have AC, praise be to God. We have a supercomputer in our pockets. And you might think, yeah, I get that, but I'm not rich. That's exactly the point. That we have so much, but you know what we don't have? Contentment. Because contentment doesn't come from our stuff. Doesn't matter how little you have or how much you have, contentment is not found in stuff, it's found in Christ. Our problem is not a lack of stuff. Our problem is a lack of contentment. And so we need to embrace this secret that Paul had discovered, that he says he had learned, I think through experience, that no matter what circumstance you are in, if you are in Christ, you can be content. And I think one of the reasons why it is Christ who can strengthen us is because Christ himself perfectly lived out the truths of these verses. Back in Philippians chapter 2, Paul says that Christ, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. Being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Christ Jesus himself has experienced the highest highs, the heights of prosperity. He is the eternal, divine Son of God, full of power and glory and imminence, just like we sang about. But he willingly humbled himself Though he was the eternal Son of God with all power, he became a helpless baby. Though he is the eternal Son of God with all glory and honor and dominion, he allowed himself to die. And not just any death. The most horrific, shameful death imaginable. Death on a cross. For our sakes and for our salvation. So Christ knows what it's like to experience ultimate prosperity. And he also knows what it's like to experience ultimate poverty. So, when you find yourself wrestling with discontentment, look to him. Look to Christ, not your circumstances. So, if you're in this room or you're watching online and you would not consider yourself a Christian, we're glad you're here. Your action step is to hope in Christ, not your stuff. To bow your knee and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and that his death on the cross was for you and for your sin, and to cry out to God and say, oh God, it doesn't matter what I do, I can never meet your standards, but your son lived the perfect life. He died for me. He rose for me. I'm not putting my hope in anything else. I'm not putting my hope in my circumstances. I'm not putting my hope in my stuff. I'm putting my hope only in you, Lord Jesus. And if you're here and you are a Christian, if you are in poverty, remember that your secret to contentment is not more money, not a better job, not a bigger house, not a nicer car. Your hope and the only way to contentment is through strength in Christ. Look to Christ, not your circumstances. Because Jesus plus nothing equals everything. So even if they take away everything you own, if you still have Jesus, you have everything you need. Or if you are here and you would claim to follow Christ and you would say, broadly speaking, I'm in a season of prosperity. Yeah, there's maybe people who have more, but I have everything that I need and then some. But I still wrestle with that discontentment. I want to challenge you and encourage you to embrace a practice that Christians have practiced for millennia. The practice of fasting. David Mathis defines fasting as voluntarily going without food or any other regularly enjoyed good gift from God for the sake of some spiritual purpose. So here's my challenge, here's my encouragement to you, that sometime this week, between now and when y'all come back together next Sunday, I want you to pick one meal. You pick the day, you pick the meal, and then rather than feeding your body in that mealtime, I want you to feed your soul. I want you to voluntarily forsake food for just 1 hour and look to Christ. Read the scriptures. If you don't know where to start, read the book of Philippians. You can read the entire letter in maybe 10 or 15 minutes and spend the rest of your time reflecting on it and what it means and how you can apply the truths that are found in there to your life. Or maybe you need to spend that time in prayer talking to your Heavenly Father. Maybe even part of that prayer needs to be confessing your discontentment to him and say, oh God, you've given me so much, more than I could ever ask for. You've given me the very air that I breathe, but I so often find myself discontent. Help me, Lord. Help me find my contentment in Christ and not my circumstances. Or maybe you need to share that time with a brother or sister in Christ, whether in person or over the phone. You need to spend time checking in with one another, asking each other how you're doing, how you're really doing. You need to spend that time in encouraging one another and praying for one another. And if you have some sort of health complication that would make it unsafe for you to forego food, then Pick something else. Pick another gift of God that you would regularly enjoy that you can forsake for just a short period of time to devote to a spiritual purpose. Maybe that's the time that you spend on social media. Maybe that's the time that you spend browsing Netflix or binging Netflix. Set aside a good gift of God for a temporary moment to set your sights and your mind and your heart on Christ. Because sometimes we have to impose upon ourselves voluntary, temporary, partial poverty to prove to ourselves that strength is in Christ, not in stuff. That contentment is found in Christ, not our circumstances. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Doesn't mean you can run a marathon. Doesn't mean you can become a doctor. It doesn't mean you can become the CEO of a Fortune 500 company. It means even if you lose your ability to even walk, you can be content. You can stand strong. It means even if you find yourself a prisoner for following Christ, you can stand strong, knowing that even your imprisonment for Christ can serve to advance the gospel. It means even if your business is an utter and colossal failure, you can be content, knowing that even if you lose your business, you'll never lose Christ. Or on the flip side, even if your business is wildly successful, none of that matters if you don't have Christ, that all gain is lost compared to knowing Christ Jesus, your Lord. Remember, the strength in Christ, not stuff, is the secret to contentment. So look to Christ, not your circumstances. Let's pray. Father, You are amazing. You are full of all glory and honor and power. That it doesn't matter what we have, how much money is in the bank, how nice our car is, how big our house is, no matter if we found that perfect spouse, no matter if we have a house full of children or not, Lord, it doesn't matter, because no matter what we have, all gain that we have, though it's good gifts from You, is lost compared to knowing Christ Jesus our Lord. And that You are so amazing that it doesn't matter what else we lose, even if we have nothing, Jesus plus nothing is everything. But Lord, we confess that while in our minds we know that is true, in our hearts we so often fail to believe it. And our hearts are full of discontentment. Forgive us, Lord. And we thank You that You sent Your Son, Jesus, so we could have the offer of forgiveness. You sent Your Son to die on the cross in our place, to die for our sins, to pay the penalty for our sins, including our sins of discontentment, so we could be forgiven, so we could be reconciled to You, and so that no matter what circumstances we're in, we could find strength and contentment in Christ. And so, Lord, we ask You to help us to do just that. That when we are tempted to put our hope, when we're tempted to find our contentment and our peace and our hope in stuff or in circumstances, Lord, that You would remind us that strength in Christ, not stuff, is the secret to contentment. You'd help us look to Christ, find our strength and hope and joy and peace only in Him and Him alone. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name, who You gave to us to strengthen us, no matter what circumstances we're in. Amen.